What's up, everyone? I'm your host, Joe Lemon. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's podcast. It's going to be a good one for anybody that cares anything about managing a territory. And I think territory reps are the most equivalent to running a small brick and mortar business because you're really targeting a small group of people in a limited amount of space, very similar to outside sales reps that are managing a territory. And as you can tell, man, Michael Kelly, which we heard from the quick intro clip, man, he's somebody that is deeply ingrained in the space. Yeah, he's done sales, he's a sales expert, he's ran territories, he's managed teams, and now he's also a franchisee owner to someone to Restore Labs, which is something that's really in my space as well, the whole optimizing your health and optimizing your actual wellness, something that I care deeply about. He's in that space now. He's one of the franchisee owners out of Charlotte. Man, Mike, you know, outside of sales is playing in both sides of this world, but Mike's full-time role with Rhythm AI, he's a co-founder there. They help optimize your actual sales team. Most people are overlooking because optimizing your time and maximizing your sales is what this game is about. And it's really all about this valuable resource that we all have and just knowing what to do with it, which is our time. Mike has also put together a whole sales training course. It's called the Sales Builder Blueprint. Just got done speaking at the Medical Sales College. And that's where we're going to dive into today's conversation. And so if you want to hear more from Mike, man, you could please go over to Surviving Outside Sales podcast. That's his show. It's not just about surviving. It's also about thriving in that space. And we talk about, you know, so like having sales content that lands and having a sales content strategy, which I think everybody in sales should have. Because even though I'm in marketing now more so, I would never rely on just my marketing department to deliver everything I need to hit my quota. That's crazy. That's lazy. And that's just not taking ownership of your actual number, right? Like, so I highly recommend that people have a sales content strategy. I don't care if you're a small business owner that owns a small physical therapy, cash-based clinic, or a chiropractor, a franchisee owner, or outside sales professional, have your sales content lined up on top of the other additional marketing activities that you're doing. So we get into that, make sure that you don't get burnt out, and just, you know, let's just talk about how we can all grow and get better and thinking bigger than just closing, but having a strategy around that. Okay, with that being said, hope you guys enjoy this content and enjoy this conversation with Michael Kelly from Surviving Outside Sales. And if you do, make sure to go check out his actual brand new course. Drop me an actual rating. Let me know what you thought about Mike. Check both us out on LinkedIn. I'll have our links in the show notes. All right, let's get into it. All right, so back, we're live, man. Michael Kelly, thank you so much for coming on to the podcast. We had some weird audio things happening there, but I thought it was too good for me not to press record on. I'm excited to dive into what you're up to. You just got done talking to the Medical Sales College, and you're a little beat, it sounds like. You have a course that you just built out, and you have a family, so I'm not sure how you have time to do all this. All like in one weekend, man, but hey, thank you for
my wife is very patient.
Podcast, man.
My wife is very patient. You know, it's funny, you know, so yeah, I was talking this morning at the Medical Sales College here in Charlotte, and they have several campuses across the country, and I think what they're doing is pretty amazing, and I wanted to get involved somehow because I do believe that the next generation of sales professionals, they need some guidance and they need training and they need to understand and have a bigger perspective of the sales industry and the medical sales industry. And I didn't have that. You know, I was talking to the class today and letting them know that back when I was their age, I was looking at ads in the Charlotte Observer, the classifieds. Mm-hmm. And most of them were you know, they're kind of BS. It's like sports marketing jobs that turned out to be door-to-door sales for restaurants. You know, yep. Restaurant gift cards.
I was on Craigslist. I went to Craigslist and started finding jobs there. That's how that was.
I know. And so there was not a lot of, I mean, I went to Enterprise Rent-A-Car, and that was literally my only shot in the sales world. And you know, it's funny, I forget to tell this part of the story. I almost never got the job. And the reason why was because my driving record, I had gotten 2 speeding tickets in 1 year. And apparently in the state of North Carolina, that knocked my points down to the point where at Enterprise, you have to drive a lot of their cars. They weren't going to hire me. I remember getting excited because I got the offer. And then like a day later, HR called me and said, Mike, I'm so sorry. We just ran your DMV report and we can't hire you. And then my saving grace was my regional vice president at the time who really liked me. His name was Paul. And Paul called me and was like, Mike, don't worry about it. I squashed it. Welcome to the team. And other than that, like I really have no idea what I was going to do, because I didn't even know about copier sales or any of the other type of sales you're supposed to get into to kind of get your feet wet. All I'd heard from one of my dad's buddies, who my dad was in pharmaceutical sales, and he tried to get me like interviews in pharmaceutical sales, and they were like, absolutely not. You have no experience. There was no shot. No shot. And so he said, go to Enterprise and do the management training program. And then after a couple of years, see what happens. So I did. And so I think that right now it's never been a better time to find work, to find opportunities. But on the other hand, everybody has that same access. So now the candidate pool has probably 20x'd, maybe even 30x'd. So you're going up against better competition. So kind of what I told the group today, who they're about to graduate this Friday as we're recording. I don't know when this is going to be released, but I said, you have to step up. And so I gave them some free resources, but I gave them some resources I think they should get. For example, a digital business card, and have your business card on your phone when you first go out to interview, or you first go out to meet clients when you get the job. You're not going to have business cards, probably. They haven't printed them yet. So don't let that stop you from gaining information, getting people's email addresses, reaching out to people. And one of the cards I have is Mobilo card, MOBILOCARD. It's $7. It gives you a QR code. It has an online CRM, so you can keep all your leads nice and handy right off the bat. It's $7.
Wow.
And then you can get a link tree, which is just basically what, people use for social media, just to store all different information. But you can also create a lead form. You can have your email address there. And Linktree also has a QR code. So you see, right now, basically, there's no excuse. Technology will provide for sales professionals in all phases. And so I think it's a great time to be alive, where you've got all these resources, you've got all these trainings. Because quite frankly, when I was coming up, I don't know your experience, when I was coming up, there was none of this. I was coming up before social media. It was kind of, if you didn't know a person in your network, your friend circle, there was no chance that you were ever going to get coaching, training. I didn't even know who Zig Ziglar was till like maybe 10 years ago. Maybe 10 years ago. And I was like, Zig Ziglar? And they're like, he's like one of the most famous sales trainers ever. I'm like, what? I've literally never heard that name before. But it's because, before technology now and all these platforms, if your network didn't know, you didn't know.
Well, I mean, man, this is so timely, right? Because if you would have had, I was talking to my guys on the West Coast who are big into like tech sales, right? And their battles that they're fighting in that space, where they're inside, they're not outside, they're making a lot of calls, doing a lot of video messages and all that good jazz, and it's great. But one of their big challenges was their department's trying to eliminate sales headcount for more marketing. They're like, look, we can automate some of this stuff and get rid of some of these sales guys, right? And and now with the uncertainty and this weird, times that are challenging for a lot of businesses, especially smaller businesses, I would say, I think salespeople are more important than ever. I don't know how another marketing slick that you've seen, because you get the billboards, you get the Google ads, you get advertising to nonstop soon you get out of bed. Like how another piece is going to help move the needle. But salespeople need help, man. And I want to talk a lot about the stuff. So let's kind of dive in right to this sales tech piece, because I think sales tech is phenomenal. What's your thoughts on ChatGPT? How's it fit into the whole sales, rhythm? Like, and we'll talk about your company too. Like,
yeah.
What's your whole thoughts? Because, I even asked it some questions, but yeah. Keep
it going. Is interesting. I think ChatGPT's arc, its journey, has only just begun. It is pretty wild. You see some of the things of, it's writing term papers, but you're now hearing a lot of stories of a lot of the information is just wrong. Mm-hmm. Because where is ChatGPT pulling its information from? If I write a post and I was like, America was founded in 1812, and then ChatGPT pulls that because it's on the internet, mm-hmm. and then they put it into some term paper. So right now, I think, of course, obviously, everybody's talking about it. But I also feel like it's kind of the same people who kept pushing crypto. As those crypto bros, It was
metaverse.
Yeah, it was metaverse, like
metaverse real estate.
I mean, metaverse. Yeah, metaverse real estate. What was the other one? The NFTs.
Yeah, it's like,
right. All of that just completely bombed and bottomed out. And I don't think that ChatGPT is a flash in the pan. I think it's got staying power, but I think in the iterations right now, it's a fun little toy that people are using, but it's not quite there yet. But on the flip side, it's not just about ChatGPT, it's AI in general. Right. And I just, so we were talking earlier about, you know, my podcast, Surviving Outside Sales. I host it on Buzzsprout, and I love Buzzsprout. And I was thinking about using another product in conjunction with Buzzsprout because I wanted to get transcripts and chapters. What do you know? Over the weekend, Buzzsprout just has a brand new feature that's AI that does it within Buzzsprout, the exact same thing that I was going to use as a competitor. And so you look around and you're like, how are all these people doing the exact same thing? Are they internally using ChatGPT? Have they figured something out? I mean, I do think AI, as far as condensing work, I think is going to be helpful. I don't think AI is going to take the place of content creation. I think what it's going to do is going to help content creators like you and me, where we can be less verbose through AI. We can get to the point. We can have the point re-examined and redirected in multiple ways, and we get to pick the best one. Because sometimes as sales professionals, we say a lot of the same things over and over and over again, and sometimes they come out different. But with AI, it gives you, you know, kind of more, I don't want to say fluffed up, but much nicer results. And so, you know, when we started Rhythm AI, the reason why we call it Rhythm AI is we weren't trying to catch the trend, okay? So Rhythm AI is a sales optimization platform. The reason why it's AI is the more that the user uses Rhythm, the smarter it starts to learn your habits. And so it realizes that if you go from point A to point B during a sales day, and you do that again and again and again on every second Tuesday between locations and between doctors, the platform is going to tighten its scheduling because it's going to realize, it's going to notice patterns. So that's where the AI really comes in. It's that it starts to learn the user over time. And so, but also what Rhythm does is you basically put in the parameters. So think of it as a routing and targeting platform. You put in the parameters of who you want to call on and how often, and then Rhythm can kick out an entire quarter's call schedule.
Wow.
And if you wanted to follow it, you could. And it's based on availability. It's based on proximity to where you're located and where others are located. It's also based on the importance of who you're calling on. Because the problem, again, in sales is sales professionals, especially outside reps, tend to take the path of least resistance. And I don't think that's the default. I think it's because they're trying to make a number, an arbitrary number that a company sets out, like make 10 calls a day, make 12 calls a day. And so they're like, well, shit, I just need to make 12 calls a day. How do I get there? Well, you know, Dr. Smith's office is right there. I need to go see Dr. Smith, even though Monday's not a great time to call in Dr. Smith. But you do it because you're trying to get the call. And Rhythm kind of flips on its head. Have you ever heard of like the star route? When they say like, you know, you do a star. And I was like, I pushed back on that even before technology. I said, if that's the most efficient times to see people, it doesn't matter what your drive time is. It doesn't.
Yeah.
Now, I would not drive from like Charlotte to Winston-Salem, which is an hour away, and then back to Charlotte. That doesn't make any sense. But I think you get my point. So that's kind of where the AI kind of, which is a little bit different, I think, some of the AI that's being sourced today. But I think AI is here to stay. I don't think it's going to take away sales professionals. I think what it's going to do, it's going to sharpen the real creators, and I think it's going to expose the frauds. I really do.
Man, the thing is well said, because what you do get from you know, Chat GPT and Bard and these other tools and these plugins, there a lot of people just plugging into these same resources, right? And they got prompts already preset, and it works great. It's good for what it's good for, but very fluffy. Not something that's going to, I would imagine, really move the needle from a unique selling outlook. I mean, like, because a lot of times it's just like generic stuff that's condensed, which that serves its point. People in med tech, you know, you can condense research papers into a couple bullet points. People actually like that. That's cool. But when it comes to like really understanding why someone would work with you over somebody else, I would never relate. I'm turn that over to an actual, you know, AI tool just yet. But your device and your technology, I think, is masterful because, I mean, I used to spend a good 2 hours on a Sunday night plotting out where I'm going to go in Google, and that would max out at 10 places, and then I have to go do another, you know, like chart for my other half of the day or the very next day. And that was just a pain, like, you know, and this is what people, this is what you do, is figure out what's the optimal time, what's the optimal drive time. And so if for people that are in the field, man, I just think that this is becoming a lost art of the going face-to-face. And from people that you're training, mm-hmm. and people that you're working with and they're prospecting, what are you hearing from them, like, what's the boots on the streets? I know what I'm experiencing. I definitely hear from my team, but what's your POV, like the overall state of the union of just doing territory sales as a whole? Like, you think there's something where people are like, the door's wide open for it because nobody's doing that too much anymore? Or is everyone still showing up and it, you know, it still feels how it felt like 10 years ago? What's your whole POV on that, Mike?
It definitely is not what it was like 10 years ago. The access has definitely gotten tighter. And so what I think, and so you kind of see the shift. I don't know if you've noticed it, because being in Atlanta, it's such a big market. I know you have relationships everywhere, but in the Carolinas, it used to be reps had Charlotte and maybe like an hour in all directions. Now, most sales reps that I meet have all of the Carolinas.
Wow.
And so it's one of those things where it's, you know, access gets tighter. Let's give them more targets. Let's just have them on the road more. And that's how I was in my last two roles. I had all of North and South Carolina. I had never had all of North and South Carolina until my final two roles, ever. And it was just one of those things where, now, one of the roles, I did not start out with all of the Carolinas. It's just several reps got let go, and they just handed me more territory. And, of course, I was being stubborn, and I took it. And I was like, oh, this is great. And then all of a sudden, I'm, you know, three nights in a hotel every week, and I'm like, I don't know about this. My wife is pregnant, about to have her first child. I maybe should rethink this. But no, I think that access is getting tighter. I think that.
And I want to stay right there for 1 second, man, if you don't mind. I hate to cut you. But it's such a good point, though, Mike. I mean, like, more reps are being required to do more. Mm-hmm. Larger territories, less support, I feel like, from that within that territory. And that's why tools are so mandatory. I think having, you know, understanding how to maximize it without eating up your whole day doing it, I think is crucial. So, no, I just wanted to highlight that, man.
No, it's, and one of the things that really frustrates me is, you know, when I talk to companies. So I talk to companies. I also coach individuals, you know, sales professionals, boots on the ground. So when I talk to companies, it sometimes is very frustrating because they can't see the forest through the trees sometimes. And just being brutally honest, they're using 2008 tactics in 2023. Mm-hmm. More doesn't mean better. You know, like those inside sales guys, you always hear it. More dials, more calls does not equal results. Because what happens is if you have a sales team and you are trying to drive a certain behavior, and that behavior is not a direct reflection in productivity, it's going to fail because all they're going to do is just try to hit that number. And it actually happened when I know a guy who worked for a pharmaceutical company and they had zero call requirements. And they said, you guys make as many calls as you think you need to hit your numbers. And what happened was the entire sales organization did something crazy like 16 or 17 calls a day.
Wow.
Because they were all fearful that they were going to be at the bottom. Mm-hmm. But conversely, you see all these companies. I worked for a company where their call average was 8. Guess what the company average was? 8.2.
I mean, 8. Yeah. Yeah.
8.2 yeah, calls was the company
average. That's the benchmark, right?
Yeah. That's the benchmark. And if you tell them 8, if they hit 8 by 3 o'clock, all of a sudden, they relax. I got my number for the day. Mm-hmm. It's okay to have some shitty days in the field. Excuse my language. you know.
Good.
It's okay to have those days in the field. It's okay to just get your teeth kicked in and only make three solid calls. But I've found myself, I work for a company where you'd get fired if you did not make the even number of calls per day. And so I'd have a morning where I'd have my teeth kicked in because I'd go and it would just be a comedy of errors. Just you name it. I mean, I went one time where they had a fire drill in the building, and like that was an office with six doctors. And so the doctors were not out in the parking lot. I don't know where they were, but like the entire office building. And so I drove there and I was like, crap, there, I was going to get six calls. And that was kind of, you know, it was a 30-minute drive there. It was a small town. And I'm like, okay, shit. Now I'm starting to think, like, I got to do the math in my head. And I've already got a couple calls for the day, but I'm trying to do my math in my head. And I'm like, okay, if I've got to get calls by this. So all of a sudden I hop back in my car and I just, you know, drive like a madman because I had to get the calls because I didn't want to lose my job. And that had nothing to do with being productive with the day. And that happens in the outside sales world. People get flat tires. There are accidents, okay? There are accidents on the interstates all the time that people get delayed. And the problem is they start making decisions that are not in the best interest of their business, but they start making business decisions based on how it looks on paper, on the activity. And I just hope that there's a world before I take my last breath on this earth, I hope that we have gotten to a point where it's no longer about activity, but productivity. I really do.
Bro, I think that's a perfect way to look at what you're doing. I mean, like having something where people are trying to have impact and do like actually close deals, like actually bring on revenue, opposed to just, hey, I was the busiest guy in my state. I was the busiest guy in my territory.
Yep.
I mean, because if we're honest about that, and look, I've been there, you know, I suffered from people pleasing in the past, and you get in this place where you just want to make your manager happy, right? You know, you just want to make the actual direct report please. Like, hey, I'm the guy that did well today. Patting your back. You probably didn't move a needle forward. You didn't get the stuff done that you needed to get done, really. And those are the things that I think when you're not focused on your business, and we talked about this a little bit when I was on your show. Thanks for having me too, man. You get into this place where you're just doing activities and you're not focused on doing the things that's going to help you excel as in your, like on the bottom line, not just, you know what I mean? Like not the, hey, I have a better relationship now. And so, yeah, like I'm really curious though. Do you think that this is, are we getting to the place where companies are starting to wake up to that notion? Cause I know you actually work with a lot of these businesses. Are they waking up to that point where like, hey, these activity numbers aren't what we need to hold on to? Are they pushing back hard on you?
Sadly, no. And especially in the medical sales world, because there's so much money to be made, you can be an average sales rep and bring in a couple million dollars in sales. Yep. An average rep. Nothing great. And I use the word rep, not professional, but a sales rep. You know, somebody that clocks in and clocks out. It's somebody who says, well, that's not part of my job description, so I'm not doing it. I'm not paying for any coaching. I'm not paying for any technology. I'm not paying for anything if my company's not paying for it. I don't care if it's going to make me better. They're just kind of floating through their career. They're happy with their two and a half weeks off of vacation, all the major holidays. They like having a company car, and they like having a job. They like going out and having something to do, and they like being able to go make calls and take coffees to their offices. That's bullshit. That's a rep. If you're listening right now and that's you, you're a rep. You're not a pro. Pros are, how can I make the largest impact on the world today? How can I go out and make change? You know, as a sales professional, you are a change agent, okay? A sales rep, you are simply, I represent a company. A sales professional is your own brand who happens to carry a product or service for a company. That's how I always viewed it. I always viewed of myself as being a franchise owner within a pharmaceutical or medical company. My territory was my business, Charlotte or the Carolinas. That was my business. Anything happening in there, I needed to know about it. I needed to be an expert. I needed to know exactly who the people were in my area, who I was targeting, who I was going after. Do they have new staff? What are their hours? Best times to see them? What type of person are they? Where are they in the buying cycle? What does their customer journey look like? There's so many layers to the sales game. Reps have no idea what I'm talking about. I talked to other reps and they're just kind of like, I'll give you a good point. I was at a sales conference. Gosh, this was right before the pandemic. I was still working for a radiation company. And I was talking with one of my friends who is she was a regional director. I think now she's been like East Coast director for a skincare company. So one of her reps was there and she said, oh, you know, Mike, how's that new, you know, routing and targeting, you know, app coming? And I was like, oh, it's coming along good. You know, I mean, I'd been using it for years and I said, it's coming good. You know, I think we're going to launch it pretty soon. And the girl who was the rep was like, what are you talking about? And I said, well, you know, it's going to do this, that, and the other. And, you know, it's going to make the best times. And, you know, and so Kelly was like, what do you think we should do for, what do you think we should do for the offices? You know, do you think you should offer that to offices? And I said, well, you know, what we were thinking about doing, we were thinking about maybe partnering with the offices and kind of requiring meetings. Like, if you want to go in an office, give more access, but just make it scheduled. That's kind of the trade-off. Mm-hmm. As opposed to just popping in. Oh, man, you would have thought that I had said the most sexist thing possible. This girl went off on me. Like, she just was like, that's ridiculous. That's going to ruin my job. I don't know what my schedule is. I've got kids, blah, blah, blah. I need the flexibility to be able to go wherever I go. And I'm like, whoa, I struck a nerve.
Yeah.
I also realized she was a rep. She didn't want any accountability. She wanted the freedom to just come and go as she pleased. I was like, that's the problem. There's too many people in the industry that want everything in the industry to cater to them. But this is a business. This is not make believe. This is real. And, you know, but there's a lot of people. I mean, I know buddies of mine, they're just super happy just to carry a bag till they're 60 years old. They're like, no, no stress. I'm cruising. I've been in my territory 6 years. I'm just going to use the same call plan. Because trust me, when we launched Rhythm, I reached out to every single person that I know. And I was shocked. I was shocked at some of the ways that people kind of reacted to an idea, not the actual, they'd never tried it before, just the idea of something that was going to improve their daily process. And that's when I realized the dichotomy of rep versus pro in the industry. And there's way too many reps. There's like 70, 75% reps.
I believe it, especially in the space where I live, which is med tech sales, medical device sales in particular, because you can build up that reputation, right? You get a name, you get a book of business, and like you can hit quota off of coasting because you're in like rep mode, order taking mode is how I kind of view it. Yep. You know, like it's like someone coming through the drive through. Like they already know what they want. You just got to be there to, you know, jot it down and place the order, right? You know, send over to like the actual manufacturer, get it to them. And that's not sales. I mean, that's just like you said, that's being a rep, that's being representative to take the order, get out the door. Easy. And you can do that in this industry. It's a beautiful thing. You can build up relationships, repeat business. It's awesome. And the reason why I think so many companies struggle in this space is because those guys look like the real deal closers or the real deal, you know, consultants or these people that are bringing on a lot of business because they've established themselves in a time when they're ready to build this up, you know? And during fluffier times when there's a lot of economic dollars going around and you can get 2% loans and, and things are smooth, then you don't got to be that skilled to actually build that book of business, you know? No. You can get the relationships, you can roll them. Man, you know, you can always talk and really get into it. I got a jet soon though, but I want to talk about your Sales Builder Blueprint course, man. I know you're hamming away on it. Please let's kind of dive into it for the next couple minutes. I want to see what you're looking to kind of have people achieve whenever they go through the course. Just your overall thoughts about what you want people to kind of experience when they hop onto it.
Absolutely. You know, so the Sales Builder Blueprint is the first leg of Sales Builder Academy. And so this is kind of the big idea. You know, I'm a big idea guy, but it's the big idea of a sales ecosystem. And so stay with me if you're listening right now. Just stay with me for a second. So I was thinking about if there was a way to disrupt sales training, what would it be? Because I believe sales training is garbage. It's hot garbage. Mm-hmm. So I talk about two sides of sales training. So there's business of sales, and then there's sales as a business. And right now, most of the training out there is sales as a business, closing. which is very vital. It's very vital. The problem is, unlike the days of, you know, we talked about that some of these executives were out in the field, things were simpler. You could walk in and have some one-call closes back in the day if you were talented enough, if you had a great opener, if you had a great rebuttal. Yeah, you could have had a lot of one-call closes. But people are super skeptical, man, and they don't want to get into relationships because they've been burned by dozens, if not hundreds, of other sales reps. It is the totality of what this industry has become and done. And so how do you disrupt that mindset? How do you shake people awake that what used to work doesn't work anymore? You can't solely focus on sales as a business and win in 2023. You have to focus on the business of sales, which is everything else. Territory building, planning, technical competence, psychology, human relations, brand building, building a territory, building frameworks, nurturing the customer journey, building advocates that will sell for you. It is much bigger than what people believe sales is. And it's, and quite frankly, it is much harder than what people believe. There's a lot going on. You have to be a student of sales. And so the sales builder world is that disruption, is that all encompassing. How do we shake up how do we shake up the world? And so I was talking with one of my clients, a corporate clients, and he was like, you know, you're kind of like a sales builder. And I had another client give me a moniker, a sales architect. And I kind of ran with that for a little bit because I'm a big Seinfeld fan. And so the joke is, you know, Costanza is always like, I always wanted to be an architect. And so I went with sales architect. I went with sales architect for a while just to kind of give me some framework. But I had another one say, no, you're more like a builder, because a sales architect designs things and then walks away. You're a builder. Like, you get your hands dirty. You actually are there at the construction site. You do the designing, but then you're there at the construction site, like the general contractor and the foreman. Like, you're there. So you're a sales builder. And so I was like, okay. So I started reverse engineering everything, and I started going through, like, my process. I'm a big process and systems guy. I'm not a big script guy. I'm not a sales hacky guy. I'm not a sales shtick guy. It is about the consistent fundamentals that are tried and true that I've done for my entire career. And so I had a really great coach a couple years ago who gave me some great advice, and he really pushed me to dig deep into what my DNA was as a sales professional. And this is all kind of like being unearthed is I'm a builder. I'm a sales operations guy who likes sales. That's really what it came down to. I'm not really like a true sales guy. Like, I don't want to just go out and represent products, or I don't want to carry just one product. I want to build something bigger. And so the sales builder blueprint, to answer your question, I know I went on for a couple minutes, but the sales builder there's multiple things that I want to teach, like how to build a sales podcast, how to build advocates. Within the Sales Builder Academy, it's an evergreen kind of ecosystem where it's always going to be updated nonstop. Surviving Outside Sales Podcast, they're going to be uploaded. New trainings are going to come in and be updated when new technology comes over. Because a lot of the trainings, like I've purchased probably like 40 different trainings, online courses, etc. I've probably had about a dozen mentors and coaches that I've paid for. And the coaches and mentors are great. The online courses are very static. They don't update. So I've already started to notice that some of the stuff is very outdated. Especially some of the stuff when they talk about email marketing. And so I don't ever want that to happen. But the first product I've released is the first phase, which is the Sales Builder Blueprint. And that is the processes and systems that you build. And anybody can build these, and they can just drop them into their business. And that will help them build a consistent process, consistent plan. And they're flexible enough. It's not a script, so it's not like you have to do X, Y, and Z. It's there to kind of mold around your business and to give you structure. Think about building a house, okay? There's a blueprint, then there's plans, then you have to go build it with the foundation, and then you put the walls up, put the roof, and then you start putting drywall, electrical. You start building everything together. And that's kind of how you have to build a business. But people don't think of it that way. They think of it as run out, make calls, features and benefits. And it's completely antiquated, completely backwards. So this is my attempt to kind of shake up the market, which with the first product, and that's the Sales Builder Blueprint, which is available at mikeokelly.com/salesbuilderblueprint.
Love that, man. Love that. I mean, Mike, man, I'm serious. There's so much here, and there's some real synergies and things that we're talking about and cooking on. And man, I think that people need the coaching the most. Like, they need the relationship. As things change, like, this stuff is moving quick. Like, you look at, you know, just plugging in some of these tools, man, like, and they're evolving. Like, what the first time I started using, like, you know, Bard and Chat, it's different, totally different how I'm using it now with these other plugins and whatnot. So people are going to need a guide to help keep them grounded, because I think people are going to get lost in a lot of these tools and not get in front of customers and not do the things that are going to be most meaningful to their clients and their business, right? And really pushing that stuff forward, man. So, Mike, man, I unfortunately have to run, man. And the building the advocates part, oh, my, dude, we got to come back and like, chew on that later, man. Seriously.
Absolutely.
Because we'll advocates,
we'll probably do a
highly under, highly underrated.
Well, the one thing I'll end with is that what people need to understand is I'm not reinventing the wheel. Okay.
Yeah.
These are concepts that I have taken from some of the smartest sales minds that have coached me along the way, and I've put them together in one package. And because what normally happens is people are really great at one thing. We talked about it earlier. So, like, I've got one of my business partners, actually my partner at Rhythm AI, he's, like, the best at building advocates. But there's some things that, like, he doesn't like to do that I really like to do, you know, like create different methods, et cetera. But he just focuses on one thing. It's just building advocates that sell for him. That's all he does. And so, you know, you take that, but I've got other people that have mentored me in the past, and they, you know, it's kind of an amalgamation. So, I want you to realize that that's the reason why it has worked, is because this isn't something that I just tried. And there's a lot of fake gurus out there where they might go to like a weekend seminar and all of a sudden they throw a course online and they're like, oh, I know this. No, no, no. I have used the Sales Builder Blueprint. This is what I have done in my career to turn around 8 failing businesses. It works.
Wow.
And it's not like anything that anybody has seen on the market today. And with your help, hopefully getting the word out. By the way, if you want to, I'm running a promotion for the launch. It is Joe Show 23, JoeShow 23. You're going to get 20% off any one of the packages. So Joe Show 23, use that coupon, and you'll get 20% off any of the packages for listeners of the Joe Lemon Show. So, Joe, thank you.
Mike.
We got to get back and do this again very shortly, because I feel like we only scratched the surface on a lot of different topics. So,
I mean, look, man, you know, we're going to talk about doing this whole LinkedIn like roundtable, bring on some other folks and really jam on a couple different topics. But I will definitely put those actual links and actual right into the whole show notes. You can go over to your main website, I believe, and you can find everything there. And, man, as always, honor talking, man. Great having you on the podcast.
Awesome. Appreciate it. Thanks, Joe.
Boom. We're out.